Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 4 September 2025, 3rd John.
Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. 3 John. And in the first 8 verses, we have the best of the best and a believer named Gaius. Then that is followed with the worst of the worst, the fellow named Diotrephes. But we are in the best of the best, Gaius. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, sir, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair conducting the Heaven Special there. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, September 3rd, went very well with the usual enthusiastic group of positive ladies. Pastor Olson began Lesson 19 by reviewing the uniform of glory to be worn over the resurrection body. And just as there is great inequality on earth, there will be great inequality in heaven. Just as the stars differ from stars in splendor and glory, so the uniforms of believers in heaven will differ from individual to individual. The pastor then used several passages in Revelation to explain what it means when it says to be an overcomer. The term literally means the conqueror, the victor, the winner. The special privileges that accompany the uniform of glory are given to the believer who is a winner believer. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And just got my new September-October Israel My Glory. And guess what? It's specializing on Zechariah. We got several things that we'll see on our Tuesday night class, Zechariah. But there's something very excellent by Jim Showers, the president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Since Hamas's slaughter of some 1,200 Jewish people and the kidnapping of hundreds more on 7 October 2023, the Lord has allowed me to lead 5 solidarity trips to Israel. These endeavors tangibly communicate our everlasting Christian support for the Jewish nation. While many tourists have stopped visiting the Holy Land, we go to the Israelis. And we tell the Israelis, you are not alone. We visit organizations the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry financially supports and spend a day in the Gaza envelope becoming witnesses to the unthinkable tragedy of October 7th. The Israelis often ask us, why are you coming here when so many are not? And we answer, because of our love for the Jewish people and appreciation for what they have done for us. And with tears, many of them express how grateful they are and how much our presence encourages them. And they always conclude by saying, thank you for coming. The Bible instructs us to love the Jewish people. Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Genesis 12, verse 3. That is why we go to Israel, to bring comfort to the Lord's chosen people. Isaiah 41 and 2. The repeated attacks on the Jewish state stem from humanity's hatred of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. October 7 was only one of many satanic attempts to wipe Israel off the map. Another occurred in June 2025 when Iran rejected the U.S. proposal to end its nuclear weapons program and promised that it would soon produce nuclear weapons and they were going to use it against Israel. To defend its people, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, a successful preemptive strike on the Islamic Republic's military and nuclear program. The name, taken from Numbers 23:24, echoes the Lord's prophecy that Israel will utterly destroy its enemies just as a lion rises to kill and devour its prey. Like all previous attacks on Israel, Hamas's and Iran's recent assaults ultimately fell short of their goals. Not only did they fail to drive Israel into the sea, but the areas also paid a huge price for striking the apple of God's eye, Zechariah 2, verse 8. Gaza now lies in ruins, and many terrorists and Iranian masterminds have died. Theirs was a fool's errand from the start. Hamas's allies, who joined the fight, also failed spectacularly, for all of Hezbollah bragging about how it would destroy the Jewish state, the terrorist organization was brought to its knees when Israel eliminated most of its key leaders and Iran's massive failures in April and October 2024, and again this year to strike Israel with advanced weapons and destroy it. That also totally failed. God has given Israel great success in battle against its enemies. He has sworn that unless the sun, moon, and stars cease to exist, Israel will always exist. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. Even while its people lived in exile for most of the past two millennia, God preserved the nation and returned it to its land. The Lord's promise to make Israel the one nation through which He would redeem the world has put the Jewish people in harm's way. Their suffering is a striking reminder of their unique relationship with God, serving as His channel to bring salvation to mankind. They have endured hatred and tragedy for the benefit of everyone who receives the Lord's gift of salvation. Though often overlooked, the Jewish people's resilience is evident in Israel today. The shock of October 7, the massacre, has generated a new determination for the Jewish people to live in the land that God promised them, and they will not be moved. Israel is a testimony to God and His promises to the people He raised up to bless the world. Our faith in the Savior of Israel is anchored in the knowledge that the Lord keeps His covenants and He never, never breaks His promises. As beneficiaries of His grace and mercy, we should gladly stand in solidarity with Israel. All right, 3 John. We have exegeted the first 4 verses, and in 3 John verses 1 through 8, the Apostle John presents a believer. He's not the pastor of the church there. He's not on the board of deacons. He's just a layman, but he is the best of the best. And the Apostle John loves this guy, Gaius, as much as the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Apostle John. So he starts out, the presbyteros, and the presbyteros is the old man, the commander. And it tells us that the Apostle John has at least 2 spiritual gifts. He probably had many more than that. He had the gift of apostleship, but he also had the gift of pastor-teacher. Presbyteros is one of the words in the Koine Greek to describe the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And it means that the pastor is the commander of the local church. The old man, the commander, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. Verse 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding in prospering. And as a result, he is a winner believer. He has the entire greater grace blessing package, Gaius. Verse 3. For I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family, came and bore witness to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Verse 4, I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, in our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians, back in chapter 7, I know we're in chapter 8 now in 2 Corinthians. When we were in chapter 7 in 2 Corinthians, we studied the doctrine of happiness in great detail, and we noted that there are three categories of happiness in the Scriptures. There's pseudo-happiness, which is minus age. There's establishment happiness, which is neutral age. There is perfect happiness, which is plus age. So I refer you to your notes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, refer you to your notes there on pseudo-happiness, minus age, which is Satan's attempt to counterfeit the happiness, the contentment, and the blessing which God has provided for the winner believer. And I also refer you to your notes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 on establishment happiness, neutral age. Establishment happiness is derived from compliance with the laws of divine establishment. And this is happiness that even the unbeliever can have in his marriage and at his job, as we studied in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. But in our verse, the spotlight is on God's perfect happiness plus age. And so now I do want to also look at that in our class on tonight. Let's take a look again at God's perfect happiness, plus age or self-contained happiness. Point one, this happiness is the monopoly of the believer in spiritual adulthood. Monopoly of the believer in spiritual adulthood, that means it only belongs to those few believers who have attained spiritual maturity, who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have maximum grace orientation and maximum doctrinal orientation in their hearts. It only belongs to the spiritually mature believer. Two, plus age is a perpetual happiness. Perpetual happiness. A self-contained happiness, and you take it with you everywhere you go, moment by moment, day by day in your life. You take this with you. You always have this happiness. Plus H is the only happiness that does not change with the weather or with disastrous or difficult circumstances in your life. 3, plus H is a perpetual happiness for every category of situation and circumstance in your life after salvation. No matter what's going on in your life, plus H is a perpetual happiness for every category of situation, circumstance that occurs in your life after salvation. You may be in great health, you may be in poor health. Doesn't make any difference. You may be living in the living phase of your life, or you may be in the dying phase of your life. It makes no difference. You have plus H in your life, moment by moment, day by day. So this is the only happiness that you take with you in every situation and circumstance. That is why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me, living, and there is no verb there in Philippians 1:21, for me, living Christ. That was his life, living Christ. He had personal love for Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He had occupation with Christ. Jesus Christ made himself at home in his heart. And he enjoyed Jesus Christ moment by moment, day by day. That's what he says when he says, for me, living Christ. Occupation with Christ and the other side of the coin of that is plus H. And dying, well, that's profit. So plus H, God's perfect happiness is for the living phase of your life and it's for the dying phase of your life. And it's for the eternal state of your life. Point 4. The relationship between our Lord's perfect happiness and the church age believer's perfect happiness is given in John chapter 15, verse 11. The relationship between our Lord's perfect happiness and the church age believer's perfect happiness is given in John 15, verse 11. And that says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, I have taught you these things, these doctrines, in order that my happiness, Jesus Christ had perfect happiness, that my happiness plus age might be in you, and that your happiness might be completed and become perfect happiness. In the Lord Jesus Christ's life on this earth, until his resurrection, ascension, and session, our Lord had perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. And happiness is a spectrum. And nobody had undeserved suffering to the extent that Jesus Christ did. He was laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He was beaten to the point his closest friends couldn't recognize him. And he had perfect happiness through all of that. He was crucified on the cross. He had perfect happiness. This is what plus H is. It's easy when everything's going well and you kind of feel pretty well yourself, see. Well, what about when things are not going well for you? What happens when you are facing adversity, suffering, and as a winner believer, undeserved suffering, intense undeserved suffering? Well, plus H, you have it with you 24/7, at all times. And plus H is the spectrum from tranquility of soul on one end to ecstatics on the other. And in all of that intensified, undeserved suffering, our Lord Jesus Christ had plus H, perfect happiness, tranquility, contentment of soul through it all. And you saw his fantastic, perfect happiness and tranquility and contentment when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had perfect contentment, perfect tranquility of soul at the most intensified, undeserved suffering. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So in his life on earth, until his resurrection, ascension, and session, our Lord had perfect happiness. He acquired perfect happiness in his true humanity by living that very first unique spiritual life. Now, he has passed on that unique spiritual life for the church age to every member of the royal family of God, to you and to me, so that now we have the potential for that same perfect happiness plus H. There is nothing that even comes close to plus H, God's perfect happiness. It is one of the greatest of all blessings and objectives in the spiritual life. Point five, perfect happiness plus H is one of the most phenomenal of all blessings. Perfect happiness plus H is one of the most phenomenal of all blessings. This is the one blessing you can take with you when you go to heaven. For happiness resides in your soul. And you take your soul with you to heaven. Six, perfect happiness is the result of the believer fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Perfect happiness is the result of the believer fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Seven, virtue love, and you know this, is made up of three parts: personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. It was from that virtue love the Lord Jesus Christ had personal love for God the Father, and that's what motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. Willingly. And that's the illustration we have coming up in our Wednesday night class. The willing, free will offering of grace giving. Grace giving. Free will, grace giving. The great illustration of free will grace giving is Jesus Christ. He was motivated by his personal love for God the Father to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, the plan of the Father. He's the one who designed Operation Grace, the cross. And from his own free will, Jesus Christ said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." From his own free will, he willingly went to a cross to solve your sin problem, my sin problem, the world's sin problem. When we were spiritually dead and totally depraved and no damn good, and yet we see the great illustration of free will, grace giving. He gave of himself. He carried out the incarnation plan of the Father. He willingly went to the cross, received our sins imputed to him, received the judgment in our body. He did that from his free will. Grace giving. There's the greatest illustration of grace giving. Free will, grace giving. The Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. So there is nothing that even comes close to perfect happiness on planet Earth. It's one of the greatest of all objectives in the spiritual life. Perfect happiness is one of the most phenomenal of all blessings. 6, perfect happiness is the result of the believer fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 7, virtue love is made up of personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Christ. 8, the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is perfect happiness, plus H. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is perfect happiness, plus H. 9, plus H, perfect happiness belongs to the winner believer. The winner believer is the believer who finds wisdom. In the Koine Greek, Sophia. In the Hebrew, Chokma. This is maximum metabolized doctrine. Maximum epinosis doctrine. Completed knowledge. Full knowledge in your heart. In grace perspicacity, it's you placing your faith in the Word of God, and it enters your heart. Proverbs 3:13, happinesses to the man who finds wisdom. Happinesses to the man who finds wisdom. Even to the man who gains understanding. So wisdom is metabolized doctrine being applied skillfully and accurately to your life through the filling of the Spirit. And when you have that maximum amount of wisdom in your heart, metabolized doctrine in your heart, you share the happiness of God. You have perfect happiness. You now can apply the absolute truth of the Word of God, aletheia, skillfully and accurately to your life in any situation, any circumstance. And you gain perfect happiness through that maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 10, perfect happiness is also the result of maximum grace orientation. Well, grace is all that God is. It's God's plan of, we call the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. You're saved by grace. Spirituality is by grace. You attain spiritual maturity by grace. The plan of God is grace. And perfect happiness is the result of maximum grace orientation. Psalm 31, verse 7. I will rejoice and be happy in the provision of your grace. I will rejoice and be happy in the provision of your grace. 11. That 11 looked like a 4. 11. I know, you can go ahead and laugh. The characteristics of happiness or perfect happiness. The characteristics of plus H or perfect happiness. First of all, perfect happiness is tranquility in your soul. Tranquility in your soul. Two, perfect happiness is a problem-solving device preventing stress in the soul. It prevents you, there's no stress in your soul because you have perfect happiness. Perfect happiness is the problem-solving device preventing stress in your soul. I don't care what's going on in your life. You might have gone to the doctor and he says you have just a short time to live. And we have had winner believers in this church that that's exactly what happened. Winner believers. The best of the best. Who went to the doctor, ran some tests, told them that they only had this much time to live, and they had no stress in their soul, no stress at all. They glorify God in their life, they glorify God in their death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. These winner believers knew that God the Father and Jesus Christ were holding his hands. And therefore they glorify God in the dying phase of their life as they did in the living phase of their life. And they had plus H in their dying just as they had plus H in their living. They had... Now, there's a lot of believers that have not attained spiritual maturity. Those who are winner believers are the minority in America today. There are a lot of Christians who are making bad decisions, out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And they are under suffering too, but it's punitive suffering. It's God spanking them. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. And there's no plus H in that. No perfect happiness in that. But for the winner believer, who is going through intensified, undeserved suffering, there is perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. And a couple of you, you know Don Lebchek? He was the best of the best. And I was with Don shortly before he went to heaven. He was fantastic. He was absolutely fantastic. We had the greatest time there. I was with Randy Frick shortly before he went to heaven. He was absolutely fantastic. And he had that perfect happiness. And there's a lot in that kind of suffering ever going, there was a lot of pain. But they had perfect happiness. It was a pleasure for me and for Deb to be with such winner believers and watch them glorify God in these days. And they were going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. And both of them now are in their mansion. And they've already had Jesus Christ come over. He didn't have to turn the water into wine. He just has the great wine there. And I'm sure Randy's already had a wine tasting up there. Had Don's over there with him. Dave Abbott, he's over there with him too. Dave comes to all these parties because he tells the jokes, see. Three, perfect happiness is contentment of soul. Perfect happiness is contentment of soul. Four, perfect happiness is capacity for life and love and appreciation and gratitude and thanksgiving. Perfect happiness is capacity for life, for love, for appreciation, for gratitude, and for thanksgiving. Five, perfect happiness is never being threatened by adverse circumstances or by people or by evil situations. Perfect happiness is never being threatened by adverse circumstances, by people, or by evil situation. Six, perfect happiness is the invigoration of happiness. What do I mean by the invigoration of happiness? This is the stimulation and enthusiasm in your life. Stimulation and enthusiasm in your life. Why? Where does it come from? You have right priorities. You have spiritual priorities. In your life, God and the Word of God are number one. Your spiritual priorities are number one. That's where this stimulation and enthusiasm in life comes from. You have right priorities. You have spiritual priorities. God and His Word are number one. And secondly, it comes from wisdom in your heart. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The target for the Word of God is your cardia, the heart. In grace perspicacity, the objective is to get to stage four, get that doctrine in your heart. But to get there, after receptive comprehension, there comes something very important. Faith. Positive volition. You must believe it. If you don't believe it, then you're just a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word. Just a hearer of the Word. James 1, 23 and 24. But you must believe it. When you believe it, God the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it in the heart. It circulates through the stream of consciousness of your heart. And it's constantly your thinking, divine viewpoint, and applying it skillfully and accurately to your life. And the stimulation and enthusiasm in your life comes from freedom from garbage in the subconscious mind. Freedom from garbage in the subconscious mind. Seven, perfect happiness is having a true sense of security. A true sense of security. First of all, you have absolute assurance regarding eternal security. Absolute assurance regarding eternal security. And you have freedom freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from doubt, freedom from apprehension. Absolute freedom from fear and worry and doubt and apprehension. Eight, perfect happiness is stability from honor and virtue because you have attained grace righteousness in your heart. Perfect happiness is stability from honor and virtue because you have attained grace righteousness in your heart. Grace righteousness, a synonym for spiritual maturity. Grace righteousness puts the spotlight on integrity and honor and virtue. And that guards you from trying to build your happiness on someone else's unhappiness. The winner believer never goes there. The winner believer never tries to build their happiness on someone else's unhappiness. Through sins of the tongue, judging and slandering and maligning and revenge. That is the worst, those are the worst sins you can ever get involved with. And you are involved in that, you will never understand and know God's perfect happiness. So perfect happiness is stability from honor and virtue, the attainment of grace righteousness in your soul. 9, as a part of God's grace policy, God has found a way to share His happiness with the believer. As a part of God's grace policy, God has found a way to share His happiness with the believer. A happiness which never depends on people. Never depends on people, never depends on circumstances. A happiness which works for the believer in times of great prosperity and also in times of great adversity. So point 12. In this show, God knows us. Boy, does He know us. He knows us so well that He knows that... And you wouldn't think that somebody would have to tell you to be happy or command you to be happy. But God knows we make so many bad decisions. We use our free will the wrong way, so we make so many bad decisions that we would never, ever know what it is to have His happiness. So God commands us, be happy! God gives a command right down the, be happy. You don't hear me the first time, I'll repeat it. Be happy. I kind of get a kick out of the fact God has to command us to be happy. No, I want to be miserable. I'm pretty good at it too. Since God possesses perfect happiness, He desires to share His perfect happiness with us. And so He mandates that we have His perfect happiness. And therefore we as members of the royal family of God have the potential of having God's perfect happiness becoming reality in our souls. And God will keep you alive long enough to attain that perfect happiness, provided you make the good decisions to be faithful to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Since the acquisition of perfect happiness is related to attaining spiritual maturity and the glorification of God, God puts this as a command. You are ordered and commanded by the Word of God to have happiness, perfect happiness. And the fact that some do not have God's perfect happiness is simply a demonstration of their disobedience. God's given them a mandate to be happy. And this is another act of disobedience to the Word of God, to God and His Word. Turn over to Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 12. And we have the first word is in the imperative. Command, mandate. Be happy in the Lord. Be happy, mandate, command, in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise His holy name. And then turn over to Philippians 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, verse 1. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, keep on having happiness in the Lord. Imperative mood. Keep on having happiness in the Lord. To be writing this same mandate to you. On the one hand, is not tedious, while on the other hand, perfect happiness, is a safeguard to you. Paul had the audacity, even in writing Scripture, to repeat himself. But inculcation and repetition is the only way to learn the Word of God. And I got to meet a very special lady when I go down to Baraka while I was at Dallas Seminary, May Walker. She was an amazing, amazing lady. I got to have dinner with her on several occasions. And she had 11 terminal illnesses. 11 terminal illnesses. And she shared. She had the perfect happiness of God. She had 11 terminal illnesses, and she was absolutely fantastic. When they introduced me to her, she goes, Dick Olson, you're one of my boys. I said, ma'am, you're one of my boys. I pray for you every day. You're on the prayer list at Baraka. I pray for you every day. And I said, well, that explains a lot of things why it's going so well at Dallas Seminary. She says, yeah. And she says, I'll tell you something. I hear a lot of grumbling at Baraka, people complaining because the colonel is repeating himself. Well, he's supposed to repeat himself. He's not teaching us so we remember. He's teaching us so we never forget. That's what he's teaching. That's the way you're supposed to teach the Word of God. I said, amen. Preach on there, May. She absolutely nailed it. But they were complaining at Baraka. Colonel, the greatest Bible teacher in America, maybe in the world. And they were complaining that he repeated himself. Well, like they're all sitting there and get everything the first time it was taught. You could teach, pastor could teach the same thing 100 times and they still haven't got it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It's the key in anything if you want to be successful. Repetition. Well, ask my son back here, Dave. Track and field, running hurdles. And Derek, when he's here, running hurdles. First time he ran over the hurdles, my gosh. I don't know what you would call it. They would go, hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. But through repetition, going over lead leg, work on that, trail leg, work on that, lead arm, work on that, trail arm, work on that, head position, work on that, takeoff point, being on your toes, landing point, on your toes, take off 7 feet from the hurdle, coming down 3 feet on the other side, on your toes at all times, no heels, again and again and again and again and again. And through all that repetition, eventually it clicks. Same way with you and believers and the Word of God. Repetition, and then one of these times the light will go on. And you're on your way. Once the guys, I knew, I think it was a track meet at Bonanza High School. Indian Springs was there. They went track and field in Las Vegas. You have, you'll have several 4A, probably 5A now, schools. And one 1A school would be there. Could be there too, and that 1A school was Indian Springs, and we were at Bonanza, and we had been going repetition, and the gun went off, and I was with the high jumpers or long jumpers, one or the other. When the gun went off, there goes Derek, and I mean, he just is. Perfectly doing exactly what we did, and he beat all of the 4A school, all of the 4A hurdlers, beat them all. And I go, he's got it. He finally got it. What was the deal? Repetition. So the best things in life are learned by repetition. Now, one, in Philippians 3:1, Paul says, perfect happiness is a safeguard to you. Perfect happiness is a safeguard to you. Two, the greatest experience of security in this life is to attain perfect happiness. The greatest experience of security in this life is to attain perfect happiness. Three, once you have God's happiness in your soul, it is the ultimate of security. Once you have God's happiness in your soul, it is the ultimate of security. Four, this is security for you because when you get under pressure, you will think the right thing. You will do the right thing. You will apply the right doctrine. This is security for you because when you get under pressure, you will think the right thing, do the right thing, apply the right doctrine. That's Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, keep on having happiness in the Lord. To be writing the same mandate to you on the one hand is not tedious, but on the other hand, it is a safeguard to you. And then Philippians 4:4. Keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. Once more, I repeat the command. Keep on having happiness, perfect happiness. And this perfect happiness, notice, is something that you can have at all times, 24/7. Well, we'll start here. Philippians 4:4 next week. But this 3 John got a lot of great principles in 3 John. And the first 8 verses, we're learning about the winner believer. The next few verses, 9 through 11, next 4, we learn about people when they make bad decisions in life. And it doesn't matter what your human IQ is. Diotrephes was a very brilliant man. He was a genius. Very brilliant man. He had a high human IQ. He was the head of the board. He was the head of the board at the church where Gaius was. And he refused. He hated the Apostle John. He hated the Apostle John. He maligned John. He slandered John. He judged John. He hated the Apostle John. And he would not allow 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John, he never allowed them to be taught in the church. Refused to let them be taught. He has, now here is someone who hates the Apostle John. And what do we know about Jesus Christ? John was the apostle he loved. John was the best of the best. He nailed it. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ loves the Apostle John, and Diotrephes hates the Apostle John and refused to have his letters even taught in the church. Now that's the worst of the worst. That's coming up 9 through 11. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and of happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.